Happy to have you all with us here on The Jump. I am Rachel Nichols. I'm here with just a couple of NBA champions. We got Richard Jefferson and live and in person, Kendrick Perkins.
Yes, he's here. Thanks for joining us, Perkins.
Do you want to talk about your shoes first, or should we wait until later?
No, please acknowledge them.
No. I mean, talk about perks.
No, because because you're trying to make a fashion statement.
There's no fashion statement.
It is.
So this is the thing. Perk didn't get a lot of time with me pre-COVID, mm-hmm. right? This is how I normally dress, Perk.
People can't see because they're hiding.
Well, that's
the
good.
Sign.
That's what
you
it is. This ain't for everybody.
Oh, see, y'all doing too much.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Listen,
crispy.
Yeah, they are. They are. And hey, my Nike account ran out, so Lynn, Ted, I love you guys.
All you got to do is clap them together and make a wish.
A little drop in there.
Let's talk a little bit about Giannis Antetokounmpo. Look, already dealing with that sore knee, right? Now his back must be hurting as well after carrying the load for the Bucks the last two games. He did become the third player in finals history with consecutive 40-point double-doubles. Now, if we take a look at the way the Suns have defended him in this series, DeAndre Ayton has had the most success. Giannis has shot 46% with Ayton guarding him versus 75% versus all others. So, Perk, obviously, that foul trouble that Ayton got in early, that is one of the easiest answers for what needs to be different for the Suns. But beyond that, what can the Suns do differently against Giannis in Game 4?
Nothing, especially when Giannis decides to play the center position mm-hmm. and embrace the center position like he did in Game 4 and Game 3. You have to just live with that. I think the only way that you could stop the Milwaukee Bucks in general mm-hmm. is let Giannis get his and shut out everybody else. Like, Giannis can't have those 6 assists, and you can't have Jrue Holiday having 21 along with Chris Middleton having 18. There's no way to stop Giannis when he's in attack mode. He's the most dominant player in the NBA.
No, I agree. I don't think that they should play him too much differently. Mm-hmm. You know, look, he had 40 points and they won. They had 40 points and they lost. So it's more about tweaking. I think the DeAndre Ayton, and you look at those stats, the DeAndre Ayton being on the floor is key for them. Because when he's not, look, and understand, DeAndre Ayton has had an outstanding postseason. I know you say this, but he went against Anthony Davis in the first round. Mm-hmm. Then he goes against, mind you, Anthony Davis got hurt, but then he goes against the MVP in Jokic. So now he's going against Giannis. This man has seen it all, and he's done a great job, but he's got to stay on the floor. That's the key thing for the Phoenix Suns.
And look, there has been an expectation that we will see more of that Giannis wall in the next game, and Giannis actually spoke about it at the media availability today. He said the first time he saw the wall was 2 years ago, and that it really threw him, but that it actually made him a better passer. He said learning to pass out to his teammates when he was faced with that over and over again is something that he thinks has actually helped him get to where he is today. He does say, though, he goes, the fact that there is a Giannis wall, he said, I hate it. He said, I hate seeing it. I'm not going to lie. But he did say that he tries to have fun with it the way he does with the counting on the free throw.
Well, and this is the progression that you see from great players. You mm-hmm. see what Michael Jordan had to go through to get past the Pistons. He had to lift more. He had to get stronger. You saw what LeBron James struggled when he was in Miami against San Antonio, and they just had 5 guys, and they're like, no, we're going to force you to shoot. So great players see defenses, and it's how you adjust to it. He has become a better passer. LeBron James became a better shooter. All of this is the evolution of great players, and especially we're watching the evolution of Giannis right now.
Well, I'm going to go back to him embracing that role of just playing the center position. Mm-hmm. If you look at games 1 and game 2, he had a combined post-ups of 9, right? He posted up 9 times. You look at game 3, he posted up 10 times.
Wait a second, Rach. The only thing I want to say, he snapped on us because I was pointing out graphics and I was talking about numbers. And then now he wants to show up today
all
and start using numbers and start
said,
talking about
all
that?
All I was talking about was his post-up.
Yes, but you owe 9 times.
He posted up because I'm actually following up with something that makes sense.
Okay, continue.
You was just talking about something that had nothing to do with nothing.
That's not true.
Okay, so what I was saying was, before I was rudely interrupted, was that he embraced playing the center position. If you watch what he was doing, what Giannis was doing in game 4, it was a lot of quick dribble handoff actions, rolling to the basket. He wasn't ISOing at the top of the key. He wasn't bringing the ball up the floor. He embraced playing around the basket in the trenches. That was the difference. So you can't load up on him if he's not bringing the ball up.
Look, I want to take the scene here from what's going on in Milwaukee, and I want to get you to on what is going on in Las Vegas right now. USA Team USA is having a rough go here over the last couple days. Second straight Olympic tune-up game last night is an L. This one was against Australia after they were stunned over the weekend by Nigeria. Prior to those two losses, Team USA had a 54-2 record in exhibition games since they started using pros in 92. Here is Greg Popovich after the loss.
You know, you asked the same sort of question, the same family of question last time, where you assume things that are not true. When you just mentioned, you know, blowing these teams out, that's never happened. So I don't know where you get that. So, can I finish my statement? Are you going to let me finish my statement or not? So you'll be quiet now while I talk, and then I'll listen to you. When you make statements about, in the past, just blowing out these other teams, number one, you give no respect to the other teams. And I talked to you last time about the same thing. We've had very close games against four or five countries in all these tournaments. So the good teams do not get blown out. There are certain games that might happen in one of the tournaments, in the World Championship, the Olympics, where somebody gets blown out. But in general, nobody's blowing anybody out for the good teams. So when you make a statement like that, it's like you assume that's what's going on. And that's incorrect.
You know what? See, this is beyond disturbing to me. Like, this is a grown man that he's talking to. And you know what? Greg Popovich has had a history of getting away with things like this. Like, I get it. He, everyone is saying, oh, that's just Pop. That's how he do things. But that was disrespectful. Like, you have to, like, be able – people want to call players sensitive. People want to talk about when players do certain things in the media. Well, Greg Popovich got to, you know, have some type of level of respect for Joe Vorden because, I mean, he asked a legitimate question. And on top of that, he was right. Pop was actually wrong.
Well, I do want to ask you, Richard, just to talk about what they were talking about for a second. You were on the Olympic team in 2004.
Yes.
You guys won the bronze medal, which, you know, as you have pointed out to us many times on this set, you're the only one with an Olympic medal, so there's no shame there. But it was
a little bit of shame.
It was something that set Team USA on a different course. Should I say that? Is that the polite way to say it? How am I dancing around this?
Yes.
Because of you, they changed the entire program so they could win gold medals again.
You're welcome.
How concerned are you about this second straight loss for Team USA?
I'm not concerned so much about the second straight loss, but I am concerned about our approach again. Our approach has to continue to evolve. Let me take you back a little bit. Under 19s just happened, I want to say 4 days ago, and Chet Holmgren, who is going to be a future number one pick, he's a number one player coming out, basically the Kevin Durant of the under 19s, and the USA beat France by 2 points in the finals. France has as many people as Southern California. So what does that tell you? That means international basketball is getting better. We just can't roll guys out there. And that was the issue that happened back in 04. If the U.S. does not bring their very best, we will not be dominant. We will be favored. We still might win and we might be the best, but we won't be dominant. The days of us just being dominant are over unless we bring our top 15 players, and that's what you're seeing.
Now, this is a pretty crazy graphic. The two of you who argue about graphics, that graphic is pretty insane.
Well, I was yelling at the camera at the time. I wasn't looking at the graphic, so I don't know what it says, but that's just the truth. The U.S. will not be dominant under any circumstance unless we bring Steph, Clay, LeBron James. Okay, let's see. What does this say? With professionals playing. Yeah, I lost a bunch of those games. I feel like that was part of my career. But I think that's just what people need to prepare themselves for.
Right.
Is that it can go sideways quickly.
Well, look, I will say what I said when we were discussing the loss to Nigeria. This team still has Kevin Durant. And by the way, they have many other excellent players, too. Damian Lillard was the one up on that podium next to Pop. But the Kevin Durant factor, the way it is in any game that man plays in, tells me that that team is going to be favored. It is just a matter of by how much, against who. And as you point out, because of all of the factors of this NBA season, because of COVID, because of the fact that we're sitting here at the NBA Finals in July, which has never happened before, that is why they did not have the chance to have a really cohesive Team USA training program and training camp. And it is a bunch of all-stars just thrown on the court together. And now they're doing the best they can to become a team to have that excellent coaching.
And there are more guys showing
them.
Up, too. There's
and
more guys.
There's more guys showing up, absolutely.
Devin Booker, Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday.
Yeah, so the reinforcements are coming. So I still have a lot of faith in this team to win a gold medal. But to your point, it is not going to be easy. Mm-mm. And that is something that we'll watch unfold over the next few weeks, because all this is happening together. The finals end, the draft comes, the Olympics come, free agency comes. It's going to be quite a wild ride this summer. All right, stick with us, because it's also going to be a wild ride on this show. As I mentioned, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is going to be on, but also Bobby Portis joining the Jump.
I love Bobby Portis, but how did he get the graphic before Kareem?
I'm just saying that Bobby Portis is next.
Why
Kareem is later in the
matter?
Show.
Why does it matter? Because it's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
You're so caught up.
So last night, guys, Pete Alonso winning the Home Run Derby earned a $1 million prize. We, of course, have the dunk contest in the NBA, but the winner only gets $40,000 for that one.
Problem.
So, Richard, which is the better All-Star Game event, the Home Run Derby or the dunk contest?
Okay, the one that can make you into a star is the dunk contest. The one that has a longer effect is the dunk contest, but the most fun to watch
is the Home Run
Derby. So Perk, what are your thoughts?
I'm saying which one is the best.
Which one is the best?
Well,
it's a home run derby.
I got one for you, Perk. Do you think if they offered $1 million in the dunk contest that more guys would do the dunk contest, or they don't need the money? So it wouldn't.
No, they need that money.
Everybody needs $1 million.
Everybody
wants their money. Even the richest, they still want
their money. Okay, so do you think if they offered $1 million in the dunk contest, we'd see more?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes. Actual.
Jeff Bezos could use another $1 million. Everybody can use another $1 million. I don't care what nobody say. It's true.
And I am thrilled to welcome in our next guest, someone who has won over the hearts of the Bucks faithful, Mr. Bobby Portis. Thank you so much for stopping by, friend.
Appreciate you.
We appreciate you, and especially the way your team fought back after dropping games 1 and 2. What changed in game 3 for you guys?
Just all the intensity, man, knowing that it was going to be a, you know, hard-fought battle, a game that we really, really needed to win. You know, we didn't want our, you know, all the guys didn't want to let the home crowd down. You know, the Bucks fans do a great job of filling up Pfizer Forum and, you know, cheering us on. So, you know, we didn't want to let those guys down at all.
What's up, Bobby? Big Perk here, man. I want to applaud you, man, for a wonderful season. But I wanted to ask you, describe your role to us, like, far as your role on the Bucks.
Just coming off the bench, bringing energy, being myself. You know, the coaches and my teammates did a great job this year of just allowing me to be me. Just like the first time in my career that I was just allowed to just do what I do and, you know, with no limitations. So just bringing some energy off the bench, bringing some scoring as well, and just being me, man. Just bringing that toughness to the team.
Well, the crowd in Milwaukee loves you being you. I want to play I'm telling you, listen to this, listen to them chant your name.
A foul is on Antetokounmpo. The cheer is Bobby for Bobby Portis, who has become such a fan favorite here in his first season in Milwaukee.
And by the way, Bobby, it was not just that. There is also an exchange you had with a young fan as you were leaving the court. It was just a high five. You only gave the kid a high five, and he looked as if he may never wash his hand again. I mean, he was just over the moon. Hearing the crowd chant your name, seeing this kid just be, I touched Bobby Portis. What is that like for you?
Man, it's crazy. I'm from Little Rock, Arkansas. People don't really make it from where I'm from. We have a couple pros, Joe Johnson, Derek Fisher, Cordis Williams, and guys like that. But we don't really have that many pros. And for me to be where I'm from and to make it to this stage, on the biggest stage, playing in NBA Finals, it was only a dream. But it's reality now, and it's fun, man. I think having my mom in the crowd is the best part for me. She gets to experience it all, too. So it's great, man. But, you know, yeah, it's really great.
Bobby, Richard Jefferson here. First of all, I want to say that's some elite company. Let's just not say Joe Johnson and Derek Fisher. Like, those guys aren't legends. But, you know, Perk talked about... I was like, you're like, only a couple. I was like, man, those are legends. But, you know, Rachel wants to talk about that exchange with the kid. But the exchange that I want to talk about is more of the one that you got into with Jay Crowder. Now, we understand the intensity, and that's where, you know, Perk was talking about your role. You understand your role. You bring that fire. Do you enjoy being in that position for the Bucks?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. It's just fun being able to be yourself on a daily basis. When you work as hard as you do, you know, as a basketball player, man, you sacrifice a lot, especially this year with COVID protocols, having to test 2 times a day and all those things. It's just a joy to go out there for the 2 hours that we play this game on the biggest stage to go just, you know, do what you do. I think all the coaches have done a great job of just telling us to, you know, do what we do best. And, you know, I think it's shown just throughout this whole playoffs for our whole team.
Hey, Bobby, I see that y'all been switching it up, y'all defensive schemes. You know, 1 minute y'all in a drop, 1 minute y'all switching. I want to know, what's your challenges on switching on to Chris Paul, and what is your mindset, and what you try to do to make him, you know, keep him out of the paint or stop him from scoring?
Obviously, on Chris Paul and Devin Booker, you got to mix it up, man. You can't give them the same heavy doses of the same type of scheme all game long, because those guys will pick you apart. They'll figure out ways to get to the spots and things like that. So when I switch on Chris Paul and things like that, I just try to try to force him left as much as possible. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's a load going right. If he gets to that right hand, it's probably an 80-90% chance the ball is probably going to go in. So it's just different when he goes right. So just try to keep him left as much as possible. Trust my help and just listen to the defense behind me. You know, our team does a great job of communicating with one another.
The question I want to ask you is, look, you're in the middle of the NBA Finals, right? You have an opportunity to raise the trophy, to win a ring, but you're also in – you also have, like, a player option. Do you ever think about that? How hard is it to stay focused on one goal and not look at the next? Like, hey, if we win this, I'm, you know, I get the bag. Or do I just kind of focus in on that? How difficult is that?
I think most guys will – they'll be lying, say they don't think about it, but with me – I just try to stay in it now. You know, I'm at peace in life for the first time in a long time. You know, just I'm just content with my role, contented with life. I think the pandemic helped me out a lot. I got a chance to just go home and be around my mom and my little brothers, and it kind of just settled me down a lot more. I got to, you know, just finally realize what really mattered to me most, and, you know, basketball was one of them. So I just prioritized it a lot more. But I'm just focused on trying to win the championship right now. We got 4 games to win 3 games, and, you know, it's only a dream to host the, you know, it's the Larry O'Brien Trophy. So to be able to, you know, host that trophy is just one of my big dreams. I know I've seen you guys hoist it, so I want to hoist it too.
All right.
Well, don't really. I would caution you against following Richard's example, because after he hoisted the trophy, he then immediately retired in the locker room and then had to unretire like a day or two afterwards. So just
hopefully,
I know you can get caught up in the moment.
Hopefully, I got another decade left at least.
I'm just saying that when you
hopefully I got just another decade left. Hopefully.
I'm just saying, be careful about getting too caught up in the moment, because there is Exhibit A right there. Bobby, thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you out on the court Wednesday night, and I'm sure we will once again hear those Bucks fans chanting, Bobby, Bobby, Bobby. We'll see you soon.
Let's go, Bucks. Let's do it.
Thanks to Bobby. And another Buck, the NBA's all-time leading scorer, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, is coming back to the jump. He'll discuss Milwaukee's title chase, how a coin flip altered his career, and a recent acting gig he had. Stay tuned. Next guest was the Finals MVP the last time the Bucks won the title. He's also, guys, just, you know, one of the greatest basketball players of all time. Mm-hmm. Hall of Famer, 6 MVPs, 6 titles, and the most points in NBA history. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, thank you so much for being back on with us. It was great having you a couple rounds ago in the playoffs. And I just want to get your weighing in now. The Bucks are trying to win a title for the first time since you were here. What do you think it would mean to the city of Milwaukee for that to happen?
I think the Bucks are looking very good. They have figured it out a little bit, and that's all they needed to do, you know, how to make all this work together smoothly. If they can continue to do that, I think they got a great chance of winning this in 6. You don't know what's going to happen. That's why they play the games, but the Bucks are looking pretty good.
Look, not many people know the game of basketball or have experienced it on so many different levels. Greatness. You know, as you watch Giannis, is there something that you're seeing that the Bucks can do, you know, either tweak or adjust, even something that you might have experienced in your career that might make things not only easier for him, but also for his teammates?
Yeah, I think so. They've got to learn how to blend their inside game and their outside game. And Giannis, who has a unique game where he can one end of the court to the other. And at some times, you know, he's had plenty of games where he scored 30 and 40 points and they've lost. So, you know, they've got to do it a different way where his effort is blended into something that works for everybody. The game that they won in Brooklyn, they were wonderful because they moved the ball around. A lot of different guys got wide open shots. They look like a great balanced team. And the more balanced they show, I think the better they will do.
Kareem, Kendra Perkins here. I wanted to first tell you that it's an honor being on being able to speak with you right now. Also, look, as a former big man that accomplished everything in the basketball world, I mean, your resume is longer than a holiday weekend. I want you to give me your thoughts and your on how these big men right now in this series are playing in the finals. I'm talking about Giannis and DeAndre Ayton.
Well, I think, you know, the role of the big man has evolved because of the three-point shot. You know, we finally got guys that taught players how to make the three-point shot at a change the game. You know, that's what's stretching the court now. So, you know, you got guys that have to be versatile. You know, you got big guys that got to be able to play out on the perimeter, and you got little guys that got to be able to do a couple things in the paint and help the big guys at times. So, you know, the game is evolving, but it's great. It's great for the game. You know, we here in Los Angeles, we have a center, Anthony Davis, that can hit the three-point shot, but yet he can play with his back to the basket and protect the rim. You know, that type of center, there's still room for him in the game, and I'm glad to see that.
Look, Kareem, you were, of course, the number one overall pick by the Bucks in the 1969 draft. But what a lot of fans don't know is that the Bucks and Suns had a coin flip that year to determine who would get that number one pick.
Yes.
Have you ever thought back on how that coin flip altered your life? You would have started your career in Phoenix, and how things would have been different for you.
Well, you know, since I've retired, I've gotten to know Jerry Colangelo pretty well. Mm-hmm. And he took me through all the drama that day. And he says he remembers seeing, he watched the coin and it landed in the commissioner's hand,
mm-hmm.
and with the head facing up, which meant that when the commissioner turned it over to put it on the back of his other hand,
it
came tails, and that meant that I was going to be a cheesehead.
Well, it's a little bit different out in Milwaukee than it is LA, but I wanted to talk about Dave. You had an opportunity to do the show, aka Little Dicky. How was that? Because I got an opportunity to interview him, and his energy, he is the same person that you see on camera. That's the same way that you interview him. How was that experience doing that show with Dave?
Well, that was a lot of fun. You know, I wasn't aware of how popular he was with the rappers. And, you know, I've seen other instances of people who you don't think should be rappers, and they can rap. And he certainly fits that role. He can do it. So the show comes off very funny because of that. And, you know, I would encourage everybody that likes that kind of thing to watch it. It's a very funny show.
Yeah. People should watch that, and then, of course, get into the archives, watch Airplane, watch the stuff you've done with Bruce Lee. It's rare for someone to be as accomplished as you are in one world, and then every time you dip your toe into that other world of acting, just it is always a hit and so much fun, Kareem. We love when you come on with us. Please be with us again as we go through the NBA Finals here. We're thrilled to get your insight, and congratulations to your Milwaukee Bucks for winning Game 3. We'll have to see what they do in Game 4.
Absolutely, Rachel. Thank you so much. And you guys have a great day.
And here's what The Jump recommends for today on ESPN Plus. Zach Lowe writing about how DeAndre Ayton's evolution transformed the Suns this season. Check that out during the break because Zach is going to join us next to discuss the piece in depth. Stick with us. So the way media availability works here at the NBA Finals is a team will practice, and then they have to come in and meet the media. And PJ Tucker did that for the Bucks, and then Jrue Holiday came in next, and here's what happened.
Somebody sitting here before me? Makes sense.
Sweaty?
Yes. Extremely. No, it's okay. I'm going to go shower. I'm going to go shower after this as well.
Yeah. We'll go to Eric to begin.
It was so weird. It was like, I was like, okay. Yeah, okay.
Jrue Holiday.
Well, look, there's certain players that have like glandular issues.
Oh, stop.
What if
for the next segment we made Perkin Richards switch seats?
No, God, no. First of all, but I'm just saying, like, there's certain players that like don't sweat, then there's certain players that sweat a lot. You like sit, you're like, do you got to get a towel to wipe off like the bench? Like, and like, who was sitting here? It's commonplace. It's commonplace. Commonplace.
We are also back with Mr. Zach Lowe. Zach, thank you so much for jumping in with us. We miss you here on site, but I am thrilled to discuss a little bit more of the breakdown of Game 3 and how things can change in Game 4 with you. Because look, the Bucks really turned things around, especially on the defensive end. More efficient, held the Suns to lower three-point field goal percentage. So did your outlook of how this series is going to go change, Zach? Because Perk has already changed his prediction. He had Suns in 6 before Game 3, and now he's flipped to Suns in 7. Did yours change at all?
Way to go on the limb, Perk.
No. I had Suns in 7 to begin with, and it was 2-0 Phoenix. I kept saying, Milwaukee's figured some stuff out. They're going home. I expect them to win Game 3, and now I kind of expect them to win Game 4. I thought this was a very evenly matched competitive series, and that's what it's been. The total score is Phoenix plus 3 through 3 games. If anything, the one thing that surprised me is, did I think Giannis was capable of that? What he did in games 2 and 3, not quite coming off that hyperextended knee. And if he's capable of that, this series is definitely competitive. Game 4, I'm crossing my fingers we get a classic, but I think we're going back to Phoenix 2-2. I'm sticking with my Suns in 7. I'm not changing my prediction. No changes allowed.
What you mean?
Oh, yeah, no changes, Perk. You hear that?
I mean, it's a difference if I change my actual pick. All I did was extend the series, and here's why. Because if you look at games 1, 2, and 3, they all been blowouts by the home team. It's never come down to a possession by possession. And I feel like this is going to be one of these series where each home team is going to win their game in good fashion. And unfortunately, Phoenix has the home court advantage. So game 7 will be played in Phoenix, and Phoenix will close it out then and win the championship.
So I'm still not sure that this gets to 7, but first of all, I just want to give a little acknowledge to Zach. Like, when Zach is here, it's like basketball class. Like, he's a professor of basketball class.
Amen.
So just take the compliment, Zach. Like, take it, okay? Like, you're very good. But, and it's so refreshing when I have to sit next to Perk, but I am not changing it. I have said Suns in 6. It's always going to be Suns in 6. It might be Suns in 5 after they win tomorrow. Ooh. So I don't think anything happened. I said might. I'm still not changing my thing. I still think it's Suns in 6, but I think the Suns, they have to tweak some things, because Milwaukee gets better as the series goes on. And if they get that 2-2, then I start to think kind of like that Dallas Clippers series, where now you start to look at them like, wait, the Clippers might win this. If this is 2-2, then I think the whole momentum goes straight to Milwaukee.
I mean, that Suns crowd might have something to say about it, but
yeah, I know those people. We'll see.
Mr. Phoenix, I do want to get to Zach, your article. It's up on ESPN.com right now on DeAndre Ayton. And I love sort of the in-depth that you go here. You're talking about his development as an NBA player from his rookie year to now, how his presence is felt, especially on the defensive end in these finals. And in fact, you can take a look, the Suns plus minus this series, plus 20 when DeAndre Ayton is on the court and Giannis is not. It is, of course, the opposite. Giannis on and Ayton off. Well, the Suns are a minus 21. So, Zach, we saw, and we talked about a lot on the show the last 2 days, the foul trouble Ayton got in Game 3 and how that impacted the series. What do you think that Ayton can do as we go forward here, besides just don't get the whistle?
I think he just continues to do what he does. I mean, he needs to impact the game on both ends. We saw him. He was beasting switches in the post and getting quick duck-ins and rolling hard to the rim. And he's gotten a ton of credit for that on offense and all the sacrifice. But it's the stuff on this end that, to me, really stands out. Look how he manipulates Drew Holiday, kind of jabs at him, then baits him into that pass and intercepts it. He's manipulating people now in pick-and-roll defense. That is surprising this soon in his career. Here's another one. Drew gets some daylight here. And look, he stays right in between, plays that cat-and-mouse game, disrupts that layup. This is super advanced stuff for a guy who's still just 22, and it helps to be really freaking big. I mean, what comes up here? This isn't anything fancy. This is just DeAndre Ayton being big and saying, I'll take that. Thank you. Let's go back the other way. And to me, that jump that he's made on defense, the offense, that's all cool. Phoenix is not sniffing a championship if their center is not a really good defensive player anchoring what has been one of the five best defenses in the NBA all season, and he needs a lot of love for what he's done on that end of the floor.
And I, like I talked about it, and I agree with Zach. I talked about it at the beginning of the series that I think that if you look at the best players in this series, it would be Giannis 1, Chris Paul 2, Devin Booker, and then DeAndre Ayton. I think that those three, and when you look at DeAndre's impact, if he's not doing what he does, it's going to be very, very hard for the Phoenix Suns to win because he impacts the game on both ends of the floor. Not like Giannis does. Obviously, Giannis is the MVP and Defensive Player of the Year, but he has that same type of impact where he is affecting shots. He is making it more difficult for Giannis, and then on the other hand, his ability to roll, great hands, lobs, posting up smaller players because they don't have a lot of depth at the size with Saric out. So it gives him an advantage on the post-up, especially when Giannis is out. So I think, like, to Zach's point, he's just got to continue doing what he does.
You know what? We already knew that he was so skilled. We knew he was talented. But what I'm witnessing, especially throughout the playoffs and now in the finals, is that he's finally playing like a dog, right? The killer has come out of him. And I saw a couple of clips where Zach was talking about how smart he was in the pick and roll. That comes from actually studying film. That's sitting down and watching film. When you do those little stabs at Chris Paul and have him, or Drew Holiday, excuse me, have him second guessing whether you're going to step up or not, that's film studying. So now he's becoming a true student of the game. And I'm just giving you that from experience from a guy that anchored the defense for 10-plus years in the NBA and was a specialty at it.
Well, I think it's also a good example. Perkins also a good example, too, that especially big men in this league need a minute to develop. Because DeAndre Ayton got a lot of criticism his rookie year, right? Especially on the defensive side of the ball, right? And here Zach is doing a detailed breakdown of how great he is on the defensive side of the ball. So I don't know how the James Wiseman experiment is going to end up going in Golden State or anything else, but I would just say that we don't know right now because you didn't know for sure about DeAndre Ayton in year one. And now we can see, now that he's had this time to learn and progress and he's applied himself, it's made such a huge difference. Zach, I don't think when Dario Saric went down with that ACL tear, it got quite enough play. But when we look at the center position and when we look at what Giannis does as he goes inside, remember, 100% of the points he scored off the floor in game three were from within 5 feet of the basket. What can the Suns do to sustain and withstand that Giannis onslaught? Because Ayton, even if he doesn't get into foul trouble, can't be on the court 100% of the time. And with Dario now out for the series, how do you see that going down?
First of all, Perk's going to like this. Shout out Mark Bryant for the work he's done helping DeAndre Ayton on both ends of the floor. One of the great assistant coaches in the league with big men. Look, they might need DeAndre Ayton to play 40, 41 minutes. He's done it before. I mean, it may just be that simple. Stay out of foul trouble. Maybe you shift him off Giannis here and there to give Jay Crowder that assignment just to protect him from foul trouble. But they may need to just minimize the non-Ayton minutes to 7-8 a game and hope you can tread water in those minutes. And it's not just Sarge. Remember, Torrey Craig got banged up from taking that charge on Giannis. Mm-hmm. The Suns are getting thin. The more thin they get, the longer the series goes, the more I worry about, is Chris Paul going to wear down a little bit? Who can withstand the minutes load? And both teams are pretty thin. I mean, I'm kind of glad they have these two-day gaps between games, get everybody rested and ready to go. But yeah, those minutes when Ayton is on the bench, you better believe Giannis feels the difference between a seven-footer being out there and no seven-footer I got to worry about being out there.
Going to be so interesting, the chess game, as the series progresses. Zach, thank you so much, as always, for being with us. We will see you again later in these NBA Finals. Everyone else, stick around, because coming up, The finals MVP odds have been updated.
Things are changing around here.
We'll talk about who these guys think should take that trophy home. First, though, time for another distant replay featuring Tony Allen. This date, 2004.
Tony Allen with the block. Simon didn't get.
Remember, these are all summer league distance because that's where we are right now.
Ooh. Who's that? Oh, little Tony Allen.
Woo. Look at me in the back jogging.
Look at
Paul likes it.
So sweet, Paul checking out the youngsters. I love it.
We went undefeated, too.
Shout out, Paul P.
We did.
Oh, I won the Boston Summer League. Don't look at me.
Crunch time here on The Jump. So in an interview on the Smartless podcast, LeBron James said, quote, "I truly hope I can finish my career with the Lakers."
Here he go.
Perk, do you think that that will indeed happen?
Yes. Where is he going?
Towards several other cities around America, so yeah, I don't know.
He's not going anywhere, Rachel. Look, LeBron need to keep a cool booty. He out there in La La Land. A cool booty. Okay, mean to sit down, stay still.
First of all, I got to break everything down.
Yes,
I don't speak
terms.
The same dialect.
No, we showed on.
Okay.
Showed on.
This is the funny thing. It's like, Bron's like, I hope. Let's be real. At what point in time has Bron ever hoped for something? Bron's going to be wherever he wants to be at. So congratulations, Lakers. Just heard this.
Let's talk a little Pelicans, though, because they are inching closer to hiring their new head coach. They are working on a deal with current Suns assistant Willie Greenwoch. Had that report. So, Richard, do you like this hire for Zion and the Pels?
I do. Willie Green is a guy that, you know, we came into the league around the same time, and, you know, just being around him and watching the way he competes, watching him go straight into coaching and really just being a student of not only the game but of the coaching game. You know, so many people speak highly of Willie. I haven't experienced him as a coach like I have, like Jamal Mosley and some other people, but everyone speaks extremely highly of him, and the Phoenix Suns, you know, they've been doing a great job.
Well, I think I think it's a great hire because if you look around the league, especially the last four teams that were left standing, three of those coaches were former players. So now they're seeing that, hey, these younger guys that we have in the NBA are relating to former players that have played the game of basketball. So I love it for Willie Green. He's a two-time champion. He's been around. He's paid his dues. He's respected. I know Kevin Durant respects him.
Yep.
He's a guy that he endorsed and said that he should get this head coaching job.
Well, look, y'all know I've been Team Spoon this whole time. They've been looking for a new head coach. I think Teresa Witherspoon should have a larger role in an organization where the players already love her and love working with her. She is just a champ in every way, and I think she should get a head coaching shot somewhere in this league. But I will also say, Willie is just a fantastic choice.
Yeah.
I mean, he's terrific, and that is a great way for the Sun, for the New Orleans to take the Pels. I said the Suns. Like,
it happens.
Like,
we've been talking about them a lot.
Yeah. It's a great way for the Pelicans to take the next step because they got to at least make the play-in tournament next year. It's just
you can't have two all-stars on your team and Steven Adams and other talent and not make the postseason because that's just disrespectful to the game.
Let's talk about finals MVP odds, gentlemen. They were updated after Game 3. Two clear front runners now. Chris Paul is still the favorite at minus 230. He was up there by himself for a long time. But now, Giannis right behind him, plus 210 there. Perk, you are a resident gambling expert. Who are you picking for finals MVP right now?
I'm going with Devin Booker. I picked him before the series, and I'm going to stick with him now. Plus 1,200, I might go drop $100 on that because if he wins, that brings back a lot of cash. Putting money on CP3 or Giannis don't bring you back a lot of money. Just some little education for you.
Mm-hmm. Can they do co-MVPs?
We discussed this during the break.
Quit straddling the fence so much.
I'm just asking a question.
Could I ask a question? No.
The answer, you asked the question. We told you no already.
Man.
I'm going to go with a dark horse. I'm going to go with Chris Middleton.
Now you're just... What are you doing?
What?
Nothing.
Why are you mad at me?
He is. He's very ridiculous.
No, okay. Look, I just... Okay. All kidding aside... Those are the numbers. Like, they know more than I do. Who's my pick? No, I think it's going to be a sleeper. I'm going to say it's not going to be any of those four people.
Well, he said Devin Booker, so there you go. Thank you to our guests, Bobby Portis, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Jay Crowder's coming tomorrow. You join us, too. We'll see you then.
Can we get Perk some lotion?